Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. When I worked in food service management, I wore a shirt and tie, much like Mr. Justin is wearing today. Every day I went to work. Some days I'd put on a sports coat, some days a full suit. I also wore a name tag, as many people in the hospitality industry still do today. And in fact, I got so used to wearing my name tag that sometimes I would be walking in a store or sitting in a restaurant and people would call me by name. And then I'd look down and figure out they were reading my name tag. It just, at times it just didn't feel right. If I had to put a shirt and tie on to make a point or because we were going somewhere fancy, I almost always wanted to grab for my name tag even if I wasn't going to work. I had to wear that name tag every day to work because it was a part of the uniform policy. And I was required to wear it, as were all of our employees. And if they weren't in compliance with the uniform policy, they would be disciplined. Now, I don't remember ever binding any of the employees' hands and feet and throwing them into the outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. But they probably received a warning and occasionally might even be sent home to change before they could start work. Now, the setting for the parable that Jesus told in our gospel reading today is a wedding banquet that a king was providing for his son, a royal wedding. It wasn't that long ago that Prince Harry and Meghan were married in another royal wedding. We were in London briefly earlier in the week when their wedding was. We had a 12-hour layover. When I say we, it was me and the kids. Robin wasn't there. Don't mention it to her because she's still a little bitter about it. Anyway, we didn't bother sticking around England for the wedding because we hadn't been invited. But could you imagine if you had been invited to the wedding and didn't attend? I think maybe Meghan's dad was invited and didn't attend, but I don't really remember all the details on that. But what I do remember is that it was a big deal figuring out who was invited to the wedding and who attended the wedding. Not just in the United Kingdom, but it was a big deal all around the world because we were all watching. In this parable, the king sent his slaves to round up the people who had been invited to this royal wedding because they hadn't shown up. So he sent, one slave first, and then he sent other slaves telling them, those slaves, be sure to mention what we're serving, right? We got some oxen, we got some fatted calf, and maybe that'll bring them in. And tell the people that everything's ready. So, go ahead and come now, the food's ready, no waiting, but the invited guests just made jokes about it, and they went away, one to his farm, another to tend to his business, and then those who stuck around decided to seize these messengers and kill them. Now, things apparently are getting a little out of hand. Our daughter's getting married in August, and we don't intend to enforce the RSVP policy quite the same way. But remember, this is a parable. And oftentimes in a parable, the author relies on, and in this point, Jesus relies on hyperbole or exaggeration to make a point. Clearly the non-attending invited guests have overreacted to the king's messengers who were just trying to remind them that they'd been invited to the wedding. And that made the king mad. Makes sense, right? Send out your servants to remind people to come to your son's wedding banquet, and they get killed? That might work up a little energy. Now, it's one thing to ignore his invitation, it's another to kill his slaves. So with dinner on the table, the king sends his troops to destroy the murderers and to burn down their city. Let's just take a moment to consider that. Their city was probably the king's city. So I think what we have here perhaps is a little more hyperbole. We know the food's on the table and it's getting cold, and they're probably used to eating lukewarm food back then. They didn't have microwaves to reheat it, right? But it's unlikely the king would have burnt down his own city. Because the banquet is ready and the food is on the table, the king sent his slaves back out this time to invite anyone now who is left in to eat the feast. And the slaves went out, we read, and they gathered everybody they could find, both good and bad, and they filled the wedding hall. No food is going to waste that evening. This parable is the third of three parables that are told by Jesus in response to the chief priests and the elders who had questioned Jesus about by what authority did he turn over the money changers' tables and throw them out of the temple. Jesus tells three parables. The first parable he told in response to that, when they asked by whose authority he did these things, he told them a parable about entering the kingdom in which he told them they would enter the kingdom of heaven after. This is to the chief priests and the elders. He told them they would enter the kingdom of heaven after the prostitutes and tax collectors, because they are like the second son of the vineyard owner, who told his father that he would work in the vineyard, but never quite got around to getting to work. I happen to think that's more like the third son, but that's just my family. In the second parable, am I wrong, Mom? All right. In the second parable that Jesus told, he equated the religious authority with the wicked tenants who had worked in the vineyard, and when the vineyard owner sent his servants to go collect his part of the harvest, they had beat up the servants, and then the vineyard owner sent his son, thinking, of course they wouldn't beat up my son, and they didn't just beat him up, they killed him, rather than giving him the owner's share of the harvest. And Jesus said they were like those wicked tenants who reaped a bountiful harvest but kept it all for themselves, denying the owner, God, his due. Then in today's parable, we are reminded that like the king, God has invited many. No, God has invited all people to God's table. But unfortunately, not all have come. Some have ignored the invitation. Others have made light of it or have joked about it as they have gone off to tend to their farms or their business or their investments. And some, in the worst circumstances, some of God's messengers have been seized and mistreated and even killed. But like the king, God keeps sending God's messengers out into the street to invite everyone who we can find to the wedding banquet, to the king's feast, to the Lord's table. Everyone is invited, good and bad. And with the table full, with the wedding hall filled and the meal ready, it seems like in the parable all they're waiting to do is for somebody to say grace so that they can dig in. Jesus takes a turn with the story, an unexpected twist when he says that the king comes into the hall to greet and see the guests, to see these people that his servants have gathered up from the main street, both the good and the bad. And then he notices a man who isn't wearing a wedding robe. And he says to this man, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?" The man is speechless. He neither defends himself nor seeks forgiveness. The man doesn't respond to the king at all. What could he say? Remember when the king sent his servants out that last time, he didn't appear to be too discriminating. He said, "Gather the people, bring them in, both the good and the bad." There was no mention of a dress code, No mention of a uniform policy. Has the king changed his mind? Perhaps a better question is, has... why has the king changed his mind? This is the better question. I just got to read my writing. It seems to me that throughout the parable, the king's invitation has escalated. At first, the invitation was only to those who had been invited. He sends one servant out to collect a select chosen few people who had been invited. And the king pursued them. He gave numerous opportunities for them to respond to the invitation. He kept sending his servants out as messengers. But they ignored, laughed at, and turned from the king's invitation. This is much like we read about Yahweh's relationship with the Israelites in the Old Testament. Time and time again, God sends prophets and others to try and gather the people, to invite them into a relationship with God. And time again, the people, the chosen people, turn away from God. God continued to pursue God's chosen people, and they ignored God. They laughed at God. They turned from God's invitation. And when the city was nearly ruined through fire and the worshiping of false gods, God sent God's servants once more. And that time, God told them to round up everyone that they found. Not just the chosen people. Everyone that you find, both good and bad, and bring them to the feast that God has prepared. And so it is, my friends, that we have been invited into the wedding banquet, into the house of the Lord, to the Lord's table. We have been gathered up by the king's disciples so that we might celebrate this wedding banquet that has been prepared. The banquet that Jesus presents in the parable has allusions to this feast that we share, the Lord's Supper. It also points to us to the eschatological feast that we will all one day share in heaven as all the saints are gathered around the table for that heavenly banquet. Sounds great, doesn't it? We have all been invited. That is, until we are reminded of the king's unfortunate interaction with that improperly dressed man. What are we to understand from this? Will there be a dress code in heaven? Or should we impose a dress code here, a uniform policy when we gather for worship at Ascension? No more shorts, Mr. Justin. We voted, we decided, shirt and tie looks good on you every Sunday. Wouldn't that be welcoming and hospitable? Do you think the king is really concerned with what the man is wearing? It's what he says he is. But I don't think ultimately that's what the king is concerned about. I don't think the man was thrown out of the wedding banquet because of his attire. I think it was his lack of response to the king that ultimately sealed his fate. Now, he's thrown out. He's bound hand and foot, thrown out into the darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I think we got more hyperbole at work here. But I think the issue becomes the man doesn't respond to the king when he addresses him. He addresses him as friend. This is no confrontation. This is the invitation to a conversation. Friend, why are you not in a wedding robe? And the man sits mute. The man doesn't respond to the king. And so it is with us. We have been invited to the banquet, both the good and the bad, and seemingly those of us who are gathered here this morning have accepted the invitation. And you're all dressed pretty well. But the question is, have we responded to the king? Have we been changed through that invitation? The Apostle Paul describes it as putting on Christ. It isn't what the man is wearing, it is, has the man been transformed by this invitation, being in the presence of God? Or is he just there for a free meal? Maybe not bad, right? Get a free meal. I hear it's an ox and a fatted calf. Well, for those of you who aren't vegetarians, maybe that sounds good. The man didn't respond to the king. He just came to receive the free meal. He didn't allow himself to respond or be changed. He sat there mute when God called him friend. As we come to the table, we're invited, the good, the bad, all of us, even the ugly. And the question is, are we just going to take this meal and expect nothing to change? Or are we going to respond, be transformed by this sacred meal, by the invitation that we have received from the King to come and dine together? We can come and eat that wafer and drink, what is it, half a tablespoon?
Three quarters
of a tablespoon of wine. Are we going to allow that to change us? Or are we going to be unchanged like this man whose appearance didn't change at all, being in the presence of the King, being invited to the feast? May we be clothed in Christ, just as we were at our baptism, as we come to the table, remembering that we have been called, we have been chosen, we've been called by name, by God. And how are we going to respond? How do we become those chosen people? It's by responding to that invitation. It's by allowing ourselves to be transformed by this sacred meal, by the Holy Spirit at work within us and among us. The invitation is to all of us. Are we going to accept it? And are we going to respond to it? That's the crux, I would say, of this parable. No hyperbole there. Amen.